Happy Saturday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Mem & Rex from an undisclosed location, alternate weekend route, 5 p.m. walk after my first day off Saturday, usual lay in bed, get up, go get something to eat, then go back to sleep, wake up about this time every day, 5 o'clock. Speaking of which, last week when I did this, and I got on Mr. Scale, was the exact same weight, 218.6. It was the exact same weight, 218.6. And I don't know if I'm discouraged by that. Well, I definitely am. That means I went a whole week and ended up in the same place. But considering how unstrict my eating has been here, and how loose and how free I've been, liberal with my calorie intake, being out here at the undisclosed location, I'm still disappointed. I'm not used to, yeah. I wouldn't quite call it instant gratification, but progress and achievement and setting the metrics and goal points, what is it called, points along the line, punk points, guide points, entry points, what's the word, you know, that you have checkpoints in the evolution of this weight loss thing that I'm doing. And it's 102 degrees out here. It's hotter than it was last week. If you notice, I didn't even wear my long sleeve shirt, but I did wear my long pants because I do want to sweat, put myself through some pain because of that. I'm the same weight I was last week exactly at this time. And there is a chance that it is an anomaly way, meaning that 218.6 may be a lot less, or a little less, or have a little less magnitude than the 218.6 that I had last week. You know, you just gotta fill it out. It could be a bowel movement or something different, or water retention or something. But I do have confidence that this 218.6 is quote unquote better or more real or less real or whatever than last week. So I do feel I did pretty good. I do feel I did fairly good. I could have did better, and I'm going to need to do better. And maybe when I get home next week, back to the default location, I could become more strict on my evening eating habit. To get this weight knocked off, because I looked at myself, I saw a video of me from 2023, August 2023, this time last year, and where I was down to like 199, and I looked good. Even just sitting at the table, I looked good. And I can get back there. In fact, I want to go back down to 195. Get down in that area. Get down between 195 and 199. If I get down to 195, something like that. Anyway, another thing I did on that, when I got up, I checked the weather. It said 102 degrees out here. So on my phone, I didn't even put the cover on my phone, because I know phone's gonna overheat. In fact, it's probably gonna overheat now. I checked the heat on it. Yep, it's gonna overheat. So every now and then, I'm just gonna stop the video and start it over to make sure it saves. I'm gonna do that now, in fact. And I'll just splice them together when I get back, when I get home. Because I know this thing is gonna overheat. It's guaranteed to. But I'm out here doing it. I was thinking, that I've stated before, that I'm a classist. I might even be a racist. I'm definitely a stereotyper. I believe in all that. I do like to generalize, loosely generalize. I don't generalize like it's a science or a math or a gospel, but I do like to, and in a way we all generalize. We have to, we see somebody, we got to generalize just to talk to them. We see a person, we say, even if we go, hi, how you doing, sir? We had to generalize based on what we saw to assume that this person is a sir. You got to generalize. And code switch, damn it. You got to generalize the code switch. You talk to people differently. I don't get it. Maybe code switch means something different than what I think it is. But when I talk to black people, I talk different than I do when I'm talking to, like, on a job interview. Or if I'm out with my friends. Or if I'm talking to, you know, LA Magus or something. Am I a different person? No, I'm not a different person. But maybe a different energy. A different vibration. You know? Something like that. These people be like riding up on you. It's Saturday, and he's trying to get to the liquor store, and he Mexican. So, you know, gotta get they cervezas. Yes, that's the kind of stereotypical racial person I am. And at least I didn't say. He probably just got off work from doing somebody's yard. See, I could have left that out of there, but that ain't me. That ain't how I roll. I say stuff like that. That's what I do. Because I am a classist. I am definitely a classist. I believe there's different classes of people. Me, with my 800 credit score, my income, my education, my demographic. I went to private schools. I've traveled the world, et cetera, et cetera. I've worked for large companies. I've dealt with CEOs. It's definitely a class thing. The things I've been exposed to, the protocols that I've been exposed to, maybe even taught, you know, dealing with different people from all over the world, you're taught that in this culture, this is how we do it. In this culture, this is how we do it. Now, that doesn't mean that I adhere to it or I do it or, like, you know, I was definitely taught it, but that doesn't mean I do it. You know, I'm just trying to say that. Just because I was taught it, you know, I learned it, learned parts of it, doesn't mean that I implement it or even, I was going to say respect it, but I do respect it. I do respect it to as much as I think. You know, as much as I think I should subjectively. And so the things that I've been exposed to in my experience definitely gives me, puts me in a different class. Now, what I was thinking just now as I was thinking about talking about classes is that, do I have a hierarchy? Do I think one is higher than the other? The answer is yes, I do. Do I think one person is better than another? No, I don't. Do I think one person is more capable than the other? Yes. Do I think one person has different attributes that may be seen as more desirable than another? Yes, I do. Worth more than another? Yes, I do. But does that make them a better person than another? No. And in thinking in that way, even though I have different classes, and they could be, you know, ranked or lined up, they could be classified or differentiated vertically. Or you could sort by income. You could sort by education. You could sort by international experience. You could sort by cultural experiences. You know, education. And then rank them vertically from one to the, you know, the most educated to the least educated, you know, the most money to the least money, and there'll be hierarchy. And of course, there'll be people in a higher class than I am. And I definitely know that there are people who are in a higher class than I am. Do I think that class is better than the one I'm in? Probably. Practically, probably just by the way I do my classifications. They're set up to be so that the class above me is better under my criteria, my subjective criteria. Now, would I want to be in that class? Meaning that there's classes that are higher or quote unquote so high that they become restrictive, and I don't necessarily want to be held to that criteria or that guideline or that scrutiny or under those class restrictions. Because I do believe there are restrictions in class, and they would have to be based on the way I categorize them subjectively, per me, and only per me. This is where I look at it. So I was thinking you can like rank them vertically, or check this out, you can just lay them out horizontally so that they're all even. The way the classes, the whole thing is to differentiate between the classes. The whole thing for me is to differentiate between the classes. And it doesn't have to be a vertical thing, like one is better than the other. You can put them horizontally to give at least the physical impression that they're equal, knowing damn well that Pookie and them is not. It's not, his class is not in a higher class than I am, simply by the generic definition of class that we know of in life, or maybe in America. Class, just the word itself, to me, doesn't just mean differentiation. To me, it almost means upper and lower. It's almost like built in. And that may not be the standard formal definition, but that's just the way, you know. You either got class or you don't. And right there, that differentiates higher and lower, if you ask me. Just by intonation. I don't even know what word that is. Or whatever word, just by the mentioning of it, the way you put it. Because I went to T-Mobile, and all this came up because I went to T-Mobile the other day. My mother's phone broke, and she kind of got a little bit excited the fact that her phone broke and she didn't have a phone. And I wasn't used to that kind of energy from her, whereas my niece and sister obviously have dealt with that before, because my niece's approach to it was much more callous and apathetic. But not apathetic, but just more, you know, she didn't let it, you know, riled her up. It was like, we've been through this before. She'll be okay. I'm like, no. She having a panic attack. She blah, 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 blah. My niece was like, I'll talk to her. I was like, okay. I was like, okay. And so I had to go to the T-Mobile store because I wanted the phone replaced as soon as possible. So I negotiated, I did this, did that. I'm running around, you know, I'm calling people. I'm all like, oh, you know, we gotta try this, we gotta do this. I'm like, oh, we gotta get it done, oh. You know, somebody needs calling people, they set people up and had people call me and this and that. And so, finally got it kind of straightened out, and I was supposed to go to the T-Mobile store out here in San Bernardino. So, you know, they sent me the thing, your phone is ready, blah, 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 blah. So I go to the T-Mobile store. This dude gonna walk right across the street. Is he? No, he ain't. He is, he's gonna walk right across the street. Is it a he or a she? I knew it. Oh, good move, man. Smart move. I guess I could have done that. Now that you put it that way, I guess I could have went ahead and walked across the street. Oh, hell. Live and learn. Anyway, So I had to go to T-Mobile. Now, I don't usually go to T-Mobile. I don't usually go into stores like this. And if you hear my tone when I say stores like this, that's going to lead you back to the class thing I was talking about. Because I'm in there, and I'm sitting, I'm looking at people, and I'm like, okay. First, I'm sitting there, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. You just walk in. You know, you don't see no numbers to pick. You just see people sitting around. And the guy who saw me walking, he just gave me a head nod. And I was like, okay, he saw me, so let me sit down. So I sit down. 10 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by. And at about 15 minutes, that's when I started to get angry. That's when I started to get angry, and I'm wondering why the hell I'm just still sitting here. You know, I'm sitting here wondering, why am I still sitting here? You know, being acknowledged is one thing, but even taking this long to get anything done. And I'm looking around these people, and I'm like, these people are probably used to this. I'm looking at the demographic of the people, and I'm judging, and I'm saying, okay, I'm thinking about where I'm at. And I'm looking at the people, the T-Mobile workers to take care of us, the age of them, demographic of them, the language that I'm hearing being spoke predominantly. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? 30 minutes, I'm sitting there, 30 minutes sitting there. And everybody else is sitting there like it's normal. Like, they were used to it. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that. And my snobbish bougie ass was quick to put it in a class thing. I was quick to say, these low-class ass, this low-class ass situation, these low-class ass people used to this. Don't they know life ain't supposed to be this way? Because when I get my phone done, I do it online. And it's mailed to me. And I handle it myself. I never have to go through the store. In fact, I was thinking, you know, all the phones I got probably the last 10 years, I never had to go to the store. It was mailed to me with an activation procedure and blah, blah, blah. And I never had to return one, come to think about it. I still think I got all my phones. I just wore them out and just got another one. Oh, a lot of times I just flat out bought phones off Amazon. One time I got like good deals. I got like the year behind phone, the best model of the year behind of last year's phone for like $99 off Amazon. I was like, ooh, yeah. I think I got my Galaxy S9. Right when the S10 came out, that was still a good damn phone for like $99 from Amazon, from Samsung. You know, brand, you know, not no knockoff, no refurbished, though I'm not past refurbished. I might have gotten a refurbished phone before, but this one, this Galaxy S24 I got, I went in and spent a grand on this and I got the latest model right from the horse's mouth, the number one. You know, manufacturer, dealer, went through the whole thing, paid the money, and said, forget it. So, I'm not used to that service. I'm not used to having to sit there for an hour. People were just sitting in there talking like it was normal. And I'm looking at these people and the way they talking to each other, handling business, and the questions they asked. And it was like the people who were in there before me, the people who were in there before me, they were sitting there. They was there for an hour too. So they was there longer than I was. They were sitting there, their baby, whatever, like da-da-da, you know, like it was nothing. Like they were enjoying it. And then the people helping people was like all casual about it, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. And I did beneath me. That's the word I want to use. I'm not sure if it's a class thing or whatever you want to call it, I definitely felt spending my time that way was beneath me. That's exactly the word I want to say. I just don't, Jeffrey Scott Mitchell just don't do this. I had to sit there for an hour. Now, of course, it was a nice exercise in being. It was almost like a meditation ceremony or yoga where I had to just sit there and think about my thoughts, understand what's going on, contemplate just leaving and saying, forget it. And I got there, I was there more than a couple times and saying, I ain't gonna do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I shouldn't have to do this. I don't want to do this. I can afford not to do this. Whether it's, to put it crudely and wrongly, because there is no right or wrong. So even when I just said this was wrong, there is no wrong. Whether it was right or wrong, I was ready to leave. I was going to leave and say, forget it. It absorbed the consequences. Then I get up there after an hour, you know, and I made my opinion. I voiced my opinion, and they, you know, they were apologizing. Yeah, we're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry. I'm like, I ain't want to hear. In my mind, I'm like, I don't want to hear. Whether it was sincere or not, them being sorry is not the point at all. It's almost a waste of their breath. But it probably made me feel better that they said it. But, and I finally get up there, they look at the phone, they saw that the battery was exploded or whatever, and they said they couldn't fix it. They said it was either insurance or warranty, whichever one was different, that they don't do, because they just, in store, they said insurance, I don't know. As soon as she looked at it, she just said she couldn't do it, because she couldn't take that phone. And she didn't even check my numbers. She didn't check my, the order, delivery, or anything. And then when I showed her my phone, I showed her the tracking number that I had. She started scrolling through my stuff. I was like, whoa, stop, stop, stop. I'm just showing you this. I said, this is my phone. This ain't the phone in question. I'm just looking at this. You shouldn't be going through all of that. Because by this time, I was pissed, probably. By this time, I was probably just oozing, you low life. I was probably just, my pores was probably just screaming, oh, I'm so much better than you people. No, 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 no. Not that way. Not that way. No, it's not that way. I can sincerely say I don't feel it that way. It's not that I sincerely feel that, oh, I'm so much better than you. It's not that. But I do feel my experience is elevated or above. That this type of experience is beneath me. I do believe that. In that way, I think there's a differentiation between I'm so much better than you people and this experience is beneath me. So, because I don't want it to make it personal to the people, I guess. But, by the time I was pissed, he told me, and I was like, you know what? And then it gets to the point where you just got to laugh. You know, just because of my understanding, where I've been. Hell, I've been to Moscow, goddammit. I done seen the pyramids. You think I'm going to let something like this shouldn't even be a blip on my radar. Unless I want it to be. Unless I wanted to be a blip on my radar. Unless I wanted to have this experience that I could talk about and enjoy going through. Enjoy being maybe semi-triggered or sit down this path to have this, we would call it an emotional experience or whatever experience, just to have it, to see how, you know, I handle it or how I deal with it. And if I am so sophisticated and I am in this higher class and I have had this better understanding how I'm, quote unquote, supposed to handle it, you know, to sit there and go through that for an hour. You know, I'm internalizing and going through it over, you know, Jeffrey, come on, Jeffrey, now. You know, you took a pair of subway to see the Eiffel Tower the first day you landed. in Paris. Before you could even check in the hotel, you dropped your bags off, Jeffrey. Went and found a subway and went and saw the Eiffel Tower. And you're gonna let this experience affect you? Be a blip on your radar? When you got that and so much more to look forward to, so much more in your life. So a lot of it obviously has to be where I may have welcomed the experience, or no. Not welcome. Let's just say I appreciated the experience. That's probably a better way to put it. I appreciated the experience, or I have learned to appreciate such experiences. Let's put it that way. How about that? So it was fun to go through that, and I knew I was gonna make a video about it because it was something to experience. You know, literally it was something that, you know, I experienced, and I appreciate the experience. Do I treasure it? No. But as a whole, I do. As that experience and all the other experience, I'll treasure. You know, my life experience, all put together as one, sure. Sure. But that was something that I found to be interesting. And there's something that I knew I wanted to go back over and editorialize, explore how I felt, what I felt during that thing, and try to relate to why I felt that way. And I think I was talking to Ole on the phone about it. I was like, he said, yeah, if you go in the store without an appointment, it's gonna be like that. I ain't used to it. It's probably because I'm technical and I ain't used to going into a store like that. And it's also, I'm probably not used to going into, not a ghetto store, but a ghetto store, something urban or something in that demographic or that culture or that ordinary people type stuff. I guess I don't do ordinary people stuff. In fact, I know I don't. I'm the anomaly. Talked about this yesterday or today, whatever. I'm the anomaly. I'm on the outside. I'm the one who isn't living a normal life, quote unquote normal, whatever normal is. My life is much more efficient than that. I felt like it was my duty to make noise about this, to be that vocal, that squeaky wheel for this situation to get attention, because these people here obviously don't understand that this is not the way it's supposed to be. And I can definitely see how I could come off like a Karen. You know, that white lady, or that's a, you know, certain demographic of white lady who is only used to a certain way. In their, you know, in their culture, in their world, in their ecosystem, in their social circle, there's certain things they expect certain things. In certain ways they expect certain things to be. And there's no saying right or wrong. There is no saying right or wrong. That's just their experience. And it's just as valuable, or it's just as valid as yours. Regardless of how out there it may or may not be. That's the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel about it. That everybody's experience is as valid as everybody else's. Because we'll never agree on one true universal, we'll never agree on one true universal reality. That's the core. There is no one there is a true universal reality. There is a true universal, no, there is a true reality. There is a true reality. It can't be universal because we'll never agree on it. And we'll never agree on it because we all don't see it the same way. Even if we were to see the same thing, we're not going to see it the same way. So there's no way that we can universally agree on a reality. Therefore, there is no way that we can universally agree on the quote unquote right way to do things, or the proper way to do things, or the most efficient way to do things, or what our goal is. What is our goal? We'll never know. We'll never know. Everybody has different goals, and your goal sets your priorities, and your priorities set your mode of operation, how you do things. You know, what is important, how you accomplish things, what is sacred. And by sacred, I mean the things that you adhere to, the things that you promote at the top of importance, that you try to mandate. All that goes into, hopefully, I'm just assuming, achieving the goal. And the goal is set by your reality, your individual reality. And because all of, if there was one universal reality, if there was, and by me putting the word universal in there, that means I'm saying that we all see it and we all agree to it. That'll never happen. Thank God that'll never happen. Humans aren't built that way. We're just too diverse in our thinking and our thought process and our perceptions and our feelings and our emotions and our understandings that we'll never, ever, ever, ever totally agree on anything. Plus, there's too many of us. And therefore, we could never set an ultimate what's right or wrong. We just can't set an ultimate right or wrong. And that's why I always say there is no right or wrong. Everything is subjective. There's laws. Now, there's laws. But I even think in a court of law, it doesn't say right or wrong. They're talking laws. They're talking judicial terms. I just threw that word out there. I don't know what it means. They're talking laws and rules. You either broke a law or you broke a rule. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Did you break this statute, this rule that says you can't do this? Did you do that? Yes. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's because you broke that rule. And just like you can say, just because you didn't break a rule doesn't make you right. Oh, I don't smoke. Or I don't do drugs or whatever. Nobody can say that's right or wrong. In the long run, your sexuality, nobody can say that's right or wrong. In fact, I'm going to really deviate. I saw Candace Owens' interview with Don Lemon. I always thought, at first I used to like Don Lemon. Then he just got weird. Then I found out he was gay and it made it worse. And it's not that I'm homophobic or nothing. But once I found out I was gay, I looked at him differently. Or should I say, I looked at his slant differently and his approach differently. I was like, oh, so that's where all this is coming from. And it's one thing to be left and liberal and to be coming from that perspective, but then you throw the gay thing on top of it, and I'm like, oh my God, no wonder. Because the liberals just irritate the hell out of me. Let's just say that. Liberals irritate the hell out of me. So, and it's not that I'm right wing, it's not that I'm, you know, conservative. Well, I'm definitely conservative, but. You know, it's not that. It's just that once I saw, oh, he's coming from that perspective. He's coming from that far left or that far, you know, understanding. And it made me understand. It made me take how I took the things he's saying in his energy differently. So I was like, okay. But him and Candace Owens were on. And he asked her, he said, you know, do you think gay marriage is a sin? And she said, yes. And I like the way she said it. See, she was like, yes, I do. And she said, well, you think me, and Don Lemon said, well, you think me and my husband, my marriage is a sin? And she said, yes, 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 I do. And my thing is, now, you can take the right or wrong out of it. If you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible pretty much says homosexuality is a sin. Right or wrong is not even in the book. Right or wrong, I don't know how they word it or whatever. We're not talking about right or wrong. We're talking about if it's a sin or not. According to the Bible and Christianity, it is my belief that homosexuality is a sin. Okay. You could take out, you could use any subject. It ain't got to be homosexuality. It could be eating shellfish. It could be eating pork, split hooves, or anything. Wearing plaids and stripes, Leviticus, anything in Leviticus, whatever. If the Bible says it's a sin, it is a sin. And so Don Lemon, I was thinking, well, he didn't have to do anything. But I think that point, that's the point that should be argued. The Bible says it's a sin. Whether it's right or wrong, that's up to the interpretation of the person. But if you're going by the Bible, it says it's a sin. Now, what's a sin? Who cares about sin? Or he could have been like, yeah, it's a sin. Oh, well, I'm a sinner. And I think he did kind of say that, you know, to be, you know, to make light of it, you know, to break the tension a little. And it was cute. I didn't mean to say he was cute because, you know, he was cute being cute or being that in a homosexual phobic kind of cute way. But, you know, it was kind of, it lightened it a little bit. You know, I think she smiled. But that's what I'm going to bring up, the point that by definition, that's what I want to say. By definition, it's a sin. And by definition, I forget why I went down this street, but I did want to tell that story. By definition, some things are what they are. And the right or wrong comes from your subjective perspective of it. You can say, yeah, that's a sin, but I don't care. Yeah, it's a sin, but according to this, or yes, yeah, a sin according to that. I forget why I went down that road. I just wanted to differentiate between definition and right or wrong. Definition, rules, legislation, and the big right or wrong. Because there is no right or wrong, but there are rules and distinctions. And such thing as the sin, as sins, as in the Bible. Kind of interesting, my phone hasn't overheated yet. And I'm running it, and it's in the sun. The sun's on the back of it, and it hasn't overheated yet. So it might be that case. It might be completely that case that does it. So, but I'm going to stop it anyway. And start it again like I just did, if you could even tell, after I spliced these together. So that, because last time it did it, it overheated, and 40 minutes of commentary, whoop, gone. Just, you know, didn't save, the app just closed. And I'm anticipating that's going to happen. Let's just be real. I'm anticipating that's going to happen eventually. So. Yeah, you walk out here, we kind of get used to the homeless. Seeing homeless people out here. And it's probably to the point I'm at now where if I walk out here and don't see any, I'll notice it. So you might see me look over at some for a while. You know, part of it's being aware of my surroundings. Part of it is to see what the hell is going on. Part of it is being aware, because even though I'm definitely relaxed out here, my guard is down, I could probably have my guard up a little bit more, and I try to, you know, make sure I just stay aware. Because I can be gotten out here. Somebody can get me. It's not like I'm walking around out here like I got money or, you know, like I would be a good target. You know, maybe I'm big enough and look healthy enough to wear and don't look like I got enough money or anything on me to make it worth, you know, even trying me. It might not even be worth, you know, coming after me because, you know, what I got, you know, what do I got? Said, well, I'm gonna try this big dude. He don't look like he got nothing anyway. Walking around in the same clothes and that beat up hat. You know, I'm not walking around like I'm, you know, got money. Might be able to see the wallet in my pocket, but I don't carry cash. In fact, I'm anti-cash. People give me cash, I get angry. One time I went to the store, I paid cash. They gave me change. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Take it home, save it, put it in the thing. I got buckets of coins. I got buckets full of coins. 2-liter bottles full of pennies and nickels and all that. I keep all the quarters for laundry. But all them coins, I got bottles and bottles of it. In storage. What am I supposed to do with all that stuff? But probably taking the Coinstar, and it pissed me off. Coinstar, I take 10%. Can't take the stuff to the bank unless it's rolled. And I bought a whole bunch of, I bought, you know, the wrappers, the coin wrappers. I mean, I ain't sitting down there doing that. I got better things to do with my time. Just like I ain't gonna sit there doing that. It's how I felt when I'm sitting in there in that goddamn T-Mobile store, wasting my time. I was like, do people live like this? I was like, how can you people live like this? Is this normal for you people? Don't y'all know better? Y'all just accept this? That's kind of how I felt. It really is. It's kind of how I felt. Here comes somebody trying to get my attention. Probably gonna ask me for something. So I just kept walking. That's kind of what up them, because you can't disrespect them. You gotta give them kind of a, you know, what's up or something. Then what I do is I'll look them in the eyes and let them know you got my attention. Now stop wasting my time. Is he behind me? I don't know, he probably wants to work. Like, y'all, you got my attention, now what? And when they see I stand there, the way I stand, my posture, and my look and all that, let them know. You know how Jeffrey do it, probably. If you experience Jeffrey. I waited all the way down the Hunt. I made it down the Hunt Street. This is my new farther walk. Here he goes over there. I see him out there, he's trying to hustle some people. Sound like, not hustle, but you know, get the money. Or get some handouts or something. Or probably just, you know, maybe want some attention, some companionship, whatever. He saw me turn around. He gonna hang out at the store, catch people coming in and out, get change or whatever. Like I said, you get used to seeing this out here in downtown LA. It's ridiculous. Downtown LA, it is complete. It's like an apocalypse in some places. It looked like, you know, like apocalypse hit, and the world is being rebuilt from zombies. Literally, that's what it looked like. Maybe that's where they got Walking Dead from. Because my God, it kind of looked Walking Dead-ish. I'm not lying to you. And so, you see, like, regular people down there walking. I said this before, I'm trying to figure out the right way to put it. Now, the word gentrified ain't the word. Unless gentrified can be meaning not just white people, but more, you see more affluent people walking around with like the lowest of lows of unhoused human beings. Because we can't call them homeless anymore. We gotta call them unhoused. In all kinds of different conditions, mental and physical conditions, that, you know, you just, it's just like, wow, you know? It's just like completely, completely wow. How the two worlds can kind of coexist. Because, and you can definitely see the gentrification going on, and you can see the gentrifiers are young and they ain't scared. You can see they ain't scared. You know, they're not walking around apprehensive. They're walking around like they spent money, they belong here, and you don't. And they walk around like, I'm allowing you to be here right now. One phone call and you're gone. So you better not do anything to me or even distract me or harass me or push me towards that. Because they're definitely not scared. Because most of the people down there are harmless. They are. Most of the people down there are harmless. And they just, you know, you could say they just, you know, they're just trying to, you know, survive and get what they can get to a degree. I mean, you'd probably be right. Let y'all see. The sun is, when I walk at 5 o'clock, I'm walking west. So I'm walking towards the sun. Now I'm walking back east. And the sun is behind me. I used to love getting off work, driving east with the sun setting in the west. Oh my God, it was so beautiful, especially California. Everything lit up in front of you. Oh, I used to love that drive. And then when you're going the other way, that sun is right in your face. Because I started taking pictures. When I started taking pictures a long time ago, you started to recognize what good light is. How the light is going to give you a good picture. You just start to, it catches your eye. You can just be walking around and go, oop, that's gonna be a good picture. You see that? How good is that? How good is that picture right there? I'm hoping the preview is just, I'm thinking the preview just may be low resolution and maybe the actual picture is better, even though it's 720 by 480. Hopefully the resolution is better than what the preview was. The preview was definitely hazy or whatever. Anyway, swinging on y'all two times. Oops. Two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all, theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.